Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here together with Cynthia McClure. Hello, Cynthia, and welcome to you, the listener.
Hello, Ursula, and hello to you, the listener. Ursula, did you enjoy the weather this weekend?
Yeah, I went out to Peterson's Pit, and I saw a family of baby foxes hanging out and sunning themselves on the road. It was very, very cute. But it looks like we won't be having very much sun this week. Heavy rains, winds, and thunderstorms are predicted for later today, probably towards evening. And it looks like they'll be intermittently going to be rain and thunderstorms throughout the week.
It looks like the sun will be back next weekend with partially sunny to sunny days on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the temperatures will be around 83 degrees.
That's safe to make plans for next weekend. Cynthia, you also did something interesting this weekend. You were at the Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival at the Jasper County Fairgrounds in Colfax. Is that right?
Yeah, and I will share with you and our listeners what happened this weekend. I've also invited some folks to join us here in our studios from Gilbert. They are the Gilbert Tractor Club, and they are going to have an antique tractor show this Saturday, June 21st, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Ace Hardware located on 24th Street here in Ames. They are going to have Kid Pedal Push Contest at 11 a.m. that Saturday, and it's going to be a great family event celebrating our agricultural heritage, and these guys are really great, and I'm excited to have them in the studio here today.
I'm looking forward to meeting them. Before we talk to them, we have another guest here at KHOI to speak with us about Emma McCarthy Lee Park here in Ames. This park has been around for a while, since 1949, when the land was donated to the city by Judge C.G. Lee in memory of his wife. The park is part of a chain of natural reserves that form a green belt in West Ames, starting with the College Woods and extending all the way out to South Dakota Avenue. The city planned recently to build four lighted sand volleyball courts in the park. However, according to the Ames Tribune, plans have been delayed over concerns raised about potential impact on the park and the community. Donna Cowan-Nubro voiced some of these concerns in a letter to the editor last week and is one of a number of people who are circulating petitions against changes to Emma McCarthy Lee Park. Welcome to Local Talk, Donna.
Thank you, Ursula.
Tell us about what has been proposed at Emma McCarthy Lee Park.
The proposal, as you mentioned, is to put in four sand volleyball lots within the park. The concern is that this is planned as a league and competitive kind of situation. What will happen is it will be lighted and there'll be eight teams of 50 players each per hour. And it will be used four evenings during the week from 6 to 10, and then on Sundays from 4 to 10. And this will go on all summer, be summer league kind of complex that would be put in there, as opposed to having it be a family park, which it serves now.
When did you find out about this?
We found out about a month ago, and a letter was distributed to a select group of people in the near environment, and then we had no idea that this was coming about. So this is an opportunity for us to share with the entire city, because it's used by the city, of this new plan. And we understand and know that this plan was actually started in 2011, and we're now hearing about it in 2014.
When I read the article in the Tribune, it sounded like the city was responding to a request from a volleyball association in town. Can you explain a little bit how this came about?
We were told that some people came to the city asking for this, and that would have been in 2011.
And these are folks that have a volleyball tournament. It's like an association.
It is a league kind of thing with teams. It's a team sport that compete. It's competitive, and they compete with other sport teams in the area.
And they need areas to hold their competitions.
That is what they would like, yes. They would like to have the four courts together There are other courts in Ames. We are not at all objecting to the addition of more of these courts, but it's the location. If the courts are needed, then the city should provide those.
So you're supportive of them having a facility?
Absolutely, but it needs to be in a different location.
So describe Emma McCarthy Lee Park a little bit.
Emma Lee McCarthy Park is a very lovely, family-oriented park.
What does that mean?
And it means that many groups of people, families and groups, church groups, community groups, use this park. It has fine facilities. There are shelters, places for children to play. There's a very fine tennis court there and a huge green space. And we're concerned about the green space and about the nature part of it. It started out, as you said, as a natural preserve. That's what the judge had in mind. And the city has done a very good job in maintaining that. It now is an established ecosystem. It has a stream. It has birds, not only the ones that nest in the park, but that use it as migration. It has a wonderful area of indigenous and nature plants. Also has places for the children to play. People come from across the city to use it. They even have wedding receptions there sometimes. So the city has, in its planning, indicated that it should maintain the beauty of the park. And the city has done that. And people have enjoyed that very much.
And as I understand it, the head of the Parks and Recreation Department now is researching the original donation documents to see what kind of stipulations were actually put on the park when it was donated?
Yes, they will do that. And then the Parks and Recreation people, the commission, we have asked that they seek other more suitable places for this. Perhaps it might be in another park. It might be on city land. It could be in cooperation with Iowa State University, schools. Those kinds of partnerships have existed. And preferably with other competitive sports kinds of activities.
Mm-hmm. Presumably it would have to be a place where there was enough parking for a lot of people to come to the tournaments, and that was one of the advantages of Emma McCarthy Lee Park, right?
Yes, they did look into that. They took that into consideration. However, if 50 people are coming each hour, there will be a very, very serious congestion in the park and also access to it. The access goes down a steep road, winding road, and it is at the conjunction of several feeder streets up at the top level because the park is a bowl. And then down in the park, there may be enough parking spaces for the competitors, but this is a very serious concern for the users of the park and the congestion that it will make.
So as I understand it now, the plans for the going ahead with the volleyball courts have been delayed by the city?
Yes, and we appreciate that. The Parks and Recreation Commission and city officials are looking for other areas, and I think that would perhaps settle this for all concerned. We would like it to be a cooperative kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And this was in response to some efforts you and some other folks made. Are you an organized association, or what? How did this all come about that you began to speak up?
Well, once the people around the park in that vicinity got the letters, several people got together. They were concerned about not only the local noise and the lights, which would affect the people and the habitat that's there. But we began to get some information from other city people. So there's several of us, not just the local. This is not a local sort of thing. This is a city concern because it is a city resource. Environmentalists are very concerned about it. Those who use the parks are very concerned about it.
And you've been circulating a petition?
Yes, we have, and we've had very good luck. We've not been turned down by one person. And the petition asks that the Parks Commission and the city find a more suitable place for this park.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if somebody wanted to find out more information about the park and the whole situation, mm-hmm. what should they do?
Well, first of all, get in touch with Sheila Cody. And Sheila has an email address, which is shecoa9@gmail.com.
Could you repeat that?
Yes, I shall. shecoa9@gmail, and it's a capital S in the beginning. She will be able to provide any petitions, information, give people help on this.
Thank you, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming.
Is it possible for me to leave one of those petitions?
Absolutely. We can put them in front of the station. So so we'll keep one of the petitions here as well.
Okay.
And thank you for coming in. And sure. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
why you can appreciate what this will do to a family park where people come, you might need to consider the following things, too. The cost of this. The cost is estimated at $150,000. $100,000 has already been allocated, and that was the top amount the city would put out. But the proposal now is for the other $50,000 to be done in kind. There's another very serious consideration, and that is flooding. The park does flood. It is prone to flooding because you can appreciate the high sides of it. There is natural flow from the...
The College Creek goes through the middle of it,
and the College Creek
right?
is mm-hmm. there. Plus, the city has a very large major storm system, a drainage system that accumulates the water and then sends it down to a big spillway. So that's a very serious consideration for the investment of tax money.
Mm-hmm. Donna, could you tell us where Emma McCarthy Lee Park is, how one actually goes to it?
You would go up in the area just west of the university on Ross Road, west on Ross Road, which also is a congested road, and about maybe a half a mile down on the left mm-hmm. of that. And right. it's down that little winding, dangerous road.
So why did you get involved with this?
I got a letter. and that was the interesting thing. Just a select number of people got the letter. And so we did get together and want to really save it as a family park mm-hmm. for the use of the whole city.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming in and telling us about this. And we'll be happy to put one of the petitions up in front if anybody wants to come. But we do recommend that if somebody's interested in this issue, that they contact Sheila Cody.
Yes.
And we will be posting her email address on our website by the end of today.
And then I understand, too, that you will post the names of the people who are in the parks and recreation committee.
Okay,
and
if you leave that with us.
Yes, yeah. If people are interested, they could contact those people and give them their sentiment.
And again, this is not to diminish the importance of the folks with the volleyball tournament.
Not at all, no. We just believe there probably will be a much more suitable place for this.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, your main concern is that Emma McCarthy Lee is really a wildlife reserve and you are concerned about the nature of that changing. Is that right?
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. the family use of it. Mm-hmm. People come from all over across mm-hmm. the city to use it. And then it's one of the few green spaces left, and people will not be able to use that park as it's intended for their own families.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We have been speaking with Donna Cowan-Newbro, who recently wrote a letter to the Ames Tribune about plans to build four lighted volleyball courts in Emma McCarthy Lee Park. Donna is helping to circulate petitions against building the courts in this park. The Department of Parks and Recreation has halted plans for the time being to reconsider this. So now we are happy to welcome Al Cox, Bob Gibson, Steve Hansen from the Tractor Club from Gilbert to our studio today.
This club was started July 12, 2005, when the five original members, John Davis, Bob Gibson, Al Cox, Kim Redling, and Dick Struve, gathered at the Daisy Chain and Laughs Coffee House for their first meeting. These members met to share stories of the old iron, gathered information on restoring their old treasures, and plan future activities for the group and serve as a resource for the students of Gilbert High School Ag Department. Dick actually drove his John Deere Model A tractor to the first meeting on Main Street, and since the first meeting in 2005, the club has expanded to include over 150 members with over 500 tractors and engines. So, guys, what are the goals of the club, the Gilbert Tractor Club, that you have? They're all deciding who's going to talk. So these aren't shy, but they're just got to get started. So, gentlemen?
Well, I guess if I may make a comment, I happen to be, of course.
And your name, sir?
I'm Bob Gibson. I happen to be one of the first original founding fathers, if you will. First and foremost, when we met that very first night, never in our wildest dreams did we ever expect to be at this point. 9 years later with this amount of people. It just kind of took off and went from there. And our main goals, you know, is just to get together with people who like to sit around and reminisce. Most of our members that we have are ag-related from generation or two back, you know, and they sit around. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story about, you know, dad had one of these, grandfather had one of these. And most of our people who are there, some of them have tractors that are actually family tractors. And Steve can talk about that a little more. He's definitely got one of those. But there's a lot of people who don't have a family tractor, but they have a tractor just exactly like they had in the family.
Okay, so the 57 Chevy that, you know.
Yes, sir.
But not the exact one.
Yeah, dad drove a 57 Chevy or grandfather drove a 57 Chevy. You're exactly right. And from there on, it just kind of skyrockets from there, you know. And I like to refer to our club not only as an antique tractor club, but antique power and tractor. Because we have a number of people who have just sort of what we call the hit-and-miss engines, stationary engines. We recognize all that, and some of our tractors aren't necessarily big agricultural tractors. They're the smaller versions, lawn tractors and such as that, the smaller tractors. But our goal is just to sit around, reminisce, and just have a good time together.
So it's very family-oriented.
Oh, absolutely. We really try to orient on the family, you know, yes.
Describe the event that's coming up.
Okay, I'm Steve Hansen. I work part-time at Ace Hardware. And several years ago, first of all, I've been in the club almost since it was started, maybe a year later. And the management, Tasha, our manager at Ace Hardware, knew I was in the club. So I approached her and said, you know, our Ace parking lot would be a wonderful place for the club to exhibit. So she kicked that around for a little while and finally gave the go-ahead. And so this coming Saturday, the club will be at Ace Hardware from 8 to 1. Come by and see us, grab a snack, and we'll be happy to see you. The connection between Ace Hardware and old tractor people. We have a lot of old tractor people coming into Ace to buy things that we sell. We're huge in the nuts and bolts, and everybody that has an old tractor knows that the nuts and bolts are all rusty and shot. So there's a good connection between antiquers, people doing mechanical restorations, and Ace Hardware.
So what would happen to these tractors if you guys weren't doing this?
They'd be sitting in a fence row, getting grown over by trees, a lot of them. A lot of these are just rust buckets. I bought a bunch of old parts and built a tractor from the parts. So they would just rust off or be salvaged and be lost forever.
So you guys are preservationists.
Yes.
But it's not an easy job because you have to go and hunt down these parts. And you have some different kinds of tractors, I understand. So what's the difference? Because there's red tractors and there's green tractors and
A lot of this comes from, I think, where you were raised, and I would say that I don't know, guys, what percentage of our members are either farmers today or are like myself and grew up on a farm. I guess none of we three are farmers today, but all have farm backgrounds, and most all of us are people with farm backgrounds. A common question that we're asked at exhibits is, how did you get into this and why do you do it? First of all, it's a love for old iron, I guess we have. And secondly, what color do you collect is kind of based on dad and how you grew up. And then it's kind of a rivalry. We have a lot of kidding back and forth between the red and the orange. I'm personally an orange person because my dad had Ellis Chalmers stuff. But I do have a John Deere because it was a tractor that my wife's grandfather bought new in 1943. So you get a lot of stories like that. So I don't call the John Deere my tractor. I call it my wife's tractor because obviously I wouldn't have a green tractor. But we do a lot of joking around like that. One of the terms you'll hear us say is we sit around at exhibits and tell lies to each other about how great our tractor is.
So tell us about how great your tractor is.
Well, of course, you know, we go by color. So So it's always fun to sit with the guys and make comments about, you know, it's too bad you don't have one of these, or they say it's too bad you don't have one like mine. But it's always a rivalry, and it's always all in fun.
So all right. I understand you have more of an exotic tractor, sir, based on your name.
Yes, a friend of mine brought me a picture of an actual Gibson tractor about 11, 12 years ago now. So I immediately researched it, and sure enough, it was for real. They were built in Longmont, Colorado, and they were built from 1946 to 1953. And after researching this for a period of time, I thought, you know, I ought to have one of these. I need one of these simply because my last name is Gibson. And it went from looking for one, I located one, and I now have three that are totally restored. And one of which, right at the present time, and I'm kind of proud of it, sets up at Independence, Iowa at Heartland Acres at the museum. And it's on loan to them for 1 year.
So these are very rare tractors, some of you find. Limited production, you know, kind of like the Lamborghinis of their time.
Yes, I have tractors of all colors, but I'm kind of proud of my Gibsons. And I can assure you I'm the only one in the club of all the members. That's the only ones in the club. I also have another line, and I only have one of them, and it's a Grand Haven. I kind of like the oddball, the exotic stuff, you know, that no one else has.
So you like the puzzles?
I like the puzzles. The problem with the puzzles becomes if you miss them apart, you can really be in trouble. Sometimes you have to actually build your own parts for those.
Have you done that?
I have. Yes, indeed, I have done, you know, such things as belt shields and whatnot. But all in all, though, it's a good time. And number one is you have to have a love of doing what you're doing. You know, just it's not about how much I can make if I get ready to sell this. It's just what the total enjoyment that you got out of doing it. It's just the satisfaction. Yes, ma'am.
This is a like old car enthusiast that really
absolutely.
Go in. And
absolutely. The only difference between a car guy and a tractor guy is the hat he wears. that's kind of the way I explain it.
So you got the red and the green and the orange.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a lot of fun. In fact, there's sometimes at some of the shows, you know, if someone's going to start, getting ready to start their tractor, and I've seen where, you know, we all want them to start properly and everything, especially in front of somebody, you know. But once in a while, if a green tractor don't start, the first guys that volunteer to give him a pull start is going to be a red tractor or an orange tractor. And it's all in fun. It's all the camaraderie. That's what it's all about.
So do these tractors actually still get used on farms?
Very few of them get used on the farms anymore. Yeah. They're just a showpiece. To parade or to show at Ace Hardware.
And who will be showing the tractors?
Well, we hope to have a good turnout Saturday. And, you know, of course, we always hope for good weather. But the shows are all on a schedule. And we hope as many people as can possibly make it of club members will come and exhibit Saturday at Ace. And so we would like to fill the parking lot at Ace on Saturday and certainly invite the public to come by and take a look at our hobby and take a look at we crazy tractor people. One of the things that's always fun at our club meetings, and we have a meeting every first Tuesday of every month, is that one of the questions always asked by whoever is directing the meeting is, are there any new members to your family? And they're not talking about children. They're talking about, does anybody have a new tractor? is what they're asking about.
Another show will be coming up is our yearly show in Gilbert on July 26, primarily noon to 8 p.m.
And that's your big show, I understand.
That's our big show. We'll have 80 or 90 units there and probably 50 classic cars. We'll have a tractor rodeo. We'll have homemade ice cream turned by tractors. We'll have the fire department's going to do a dinner. A lot of stuff going on.
So it's a big day for Gilbert.
Yeah, Historical Society, they're going to do, they'll have some events going from noon to 8, as well as pie sales. Mm-hmm. They'll be doing some pie sales. One other thing that we've added this year that's a little different, we've never did it before, but we're going to try it this year. The members wanted to try one, and that's an actual swap meet. So, you know, anybody that's got extra tractor parts and whatever, you know, is more than welcome to bring it. For the members, club members, it'll be free. You just bring your stuff in, and it goes from there. If you're a non-member, you're still welcome to bring stuff, but we will have a nominal fee. And I tell you what the nominal fee is 1 year's dues to the club, which is a whole $15. That's all we're going to charge them for just setting up, you know. So another thing that we got into about, I guess we've owned this 3 years, and a lot of people don't realize this, but we purchased a little pedal tractor pulling skid for the children, and they actually get on this tractor and they have the opportunity to pull just like you watch tractors on TV pull. And we started something this year at every show that we've did so far this year, and we're going to be doing it Saturday at Ace Hardware as well, is the children are going to have an opportunity to pull.
Yeah, that's going to be at 11 a.m. Saturday.
Yes, and we're going to turn around, and then we're going to do the same thing, of course, in Gilbert. And what we're trying to do is the children that pull at some of these other shows around, like Ace Hardware or wherever, we're trying to encourage them to come to Gilbert as well, you know, and just kind of talk it up.
So it's a family-friendly event, and everyone's
absolutely
invited.
Absolutely, in every way.
Yeah, we encourage everybody to come by on Saturday. Everybody that's listening, that's even if you're not an old tractor person, but maybe you have a farm background, and it's pretty interesting to come by and see some of these old machines and how they're fixed up. And while you're there, go in the store and say hi to Tasha and the crew. They'd love to talk to you.
What is a tractor rodeo?
Tractor Rodeo is made up of several events, of course, centered around tractors. Like one is attaching a 20-foot log chain in a straight line behind your tractor, and you have to weave it into a 2-foot square box in the middle of the intersection, and it's a timed event. So you have to go forward and backward and weave that chain right in the box. Another one is back in a 4-wheel trailer about 30 feet into a garage space.
So you guys get to show off your skills that you learned on the farm.
Helps if you have power steering, too.
Yeah. Most of them don't.
Yeah.
These are very old tractors, too. Yeah. These are...
My oldest is 1929 GP John Deere. That's one of the oldest around.
So what really is the difference between one of these tractors and the kind of tractor that's being used today by farmers?
About 300 horsepower.
Yeah.
My biggest one is a 12-horsepower John Deere. Weighs 2 ton. You know, your Gibson's, what are they, about 8 horse?
Six horse. But the three Gibsons that I have, they made different sizes of them, but I have three of them, and they're all 3 6-horses. All three of them are different models, of course. But they were primarily developed for the crop, the garden farmers, where they would do vegetables, fruits and vegetables and et cetera, and go out and pick them. So they're very lightweight, very, very small tractors, but there was a need for that in the agriculture post-war, and that's back when these things were made. It was post-war, of course.
Are any of you gentlemen involved with any of other tractor clubs here in Iowa?
The other big tractor club around is Central Iowa Tractor Club, which shows at the state fair. They're on Senior Day on Wednesday every year. There are clubs all over the state, different colors, sometimes color-oriented. But Central Iowa and Gilbert Tractor Club are just any color tractor that can join.
So you guys get to rib each other about your colors and if you're having a hard time getting your tractor started.
Definitely.
So explain the colors, the orange, the green, and the red. What does that actually mean?
Well, if you're just going to take in those colors, and back in the 40s, 50s, there were lots more than those three, But, you know, we always think of the Farmalls, the Allis Chalmers, and the John Deere as probably some of the leaders in the 50s. However, there were Olivers, and there were Massey Harris, and there were Minneapolis Moline, and there were lots of them. You asked a while ago about the difference in these machines that we collect and restore and today's world. My Allis Chalmers, my dad bought one new when I was 15 years old, which is exactly like the one I have. And brought it home. And in 1956, that was a pretty good-sized tractor, and I thought we were big farmers with this machine. It was really something. Today, it's a little bit bigger than a lawnmower.
Yeah.
But that's about the difference is, I don't know, we've gone from, I think, my Allis Chalmers is somewhere in the neighborhood of 45 horsepower to, like the guys say, today we're running in the 300s. So it's a changing business, the business of farming.
So the big ag tractors that people see, they are just leagues ahead of what you guys are doing. You guys are dealing with smaller, you know, antique tractors that are basically would be lost if you guys weren't doing this.
Yeah, one of the conversations, it's pretty common that if we're sitting around a show, especially, you know, it's very common to get into the conversation wondering if 40, 50 years from now, looking down the road 40, 50 years from now, the tractor shows, are they going to exist with the now big agricultural tractors? You know, we're just topic for discussion, you know. One other thing, if I might mention it real quick, is at our show up there in Gilbert at our annual show, I happen to have a Maytag Ringer wash machine, an old Maytag Ringer wash machine powered by a Maytag gas engine. Now, a lot of people have seen Ringer wash machines, but very few have seen Ringer wash machines powered with gas engine. So it's always a good conversational piece. We always have it running, always have it full of water, and I've got a couple pairs of old blue jeans there that have been washed many, many times over and over. You know, that's just what they're for. But it's always just people just kind of stand in awe. And everyone, because different ones will stand in there and they'll say, well, I remember grandma or grandpa or whoever used to have one, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
Yep.
I can remember my grandma using a Ringer washer, and the big thing was not to destroy the buttons in the you know, getting the water out. So, but are you guys involved in the state fair in any way, whether in the tractor club or some other club?
Well, Bob's one of the judges for the FFA and the 4-H exhibits for the tractor restoration, so he always helps with that. I'm part of the Central Iowa Club, so I show tractors during the daytime on Wednesday at the State Fair.
So is there anything else you guys would like to share about the Gilbert Tractor Club and working with young people in the Ag Department at Gilbert High School?
Yeah, I think that was one of our major goals. John Davis is the VOAG teacher at Gilbert, and he wanted some mentors to come alongside the guys as they restored tractors actually in the shop. And so that was one of our major goals, and we do that. We include the kids, the young people in our club. We encourage them to prepare for the state fair shows and do anything we can, give scholarships to help them actually restore the tractors.
Do you find that young people are interested in the old tractors?
Oh, my. Yeah, it's got down to, like, Al said, I've been judging at the Iowa State Fair. In fact, I've been there now about 7-8 years, and I've just watched that grow from the time we started down there. You know, we started with maybe 50 tractors, and now they're way well up around 150 tractors at the Iowa State Fair alone, just in the FFA department. And 4-H, they have their own bracket, of course, but just in the FFA alone. And what a wonderful hobby for young people to get involved in, and they're very interested. And a lot of those young people, they are doing grandpa's tractor or dad's tractor and whatnot, you know. So
at some of our meetings, we have a couple meetings in the winter usually when people don't want to throw a tractor on a trailer. Every meeting, usually we have a presenter that has something they're working on or just finished. But some of the meetings is we actually go into the Gilbert High School Ag Shop, which is now, of course, new and beautiful. And the presenters will be the ag students showing what they're doing, like Bob says, with grandpa's tractor, and so the students of the ag department and the Gilbert High School will actually be the presenters to all of we old tractor duffs. And it's pretty cool to see these young kids, their interest and their ability.
Why do you think they like the tractors?
Oh, I suppose are most of them farm kids? I guess they probably are. I don't know that they all are, but it's in your. I think if you're a farm kid, agricultural background, you're born with it in your blood. Yeah. I think it's a. Don't you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one or two generations back, but it's there. It's just there.
Is this generally something for boys, or do girls also like the tractors?
Oh my! And down at the Iowa State Fair down there. Some of the most enthusiastic, people that are showing down there are the young ladies. It really is. And in fact, it's getting to the point at the Iowa State Fair, I would say at least it could be 20% young ladies that's involved in it down there. And they know what they're doing. They really do.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I really appreciate you guys coming on. Is there any way people can contact you if they want to get involved with the club or they want to see more events? Is there more information they can they can look for?
Well, we have the website, gilberttractorclubs.com, and they can get – in fact, there's application on there and information about the club and the goals and times we meet and pictures and different things. And all our contact information is there at the website. So, or we're in Gilbert. You just come to Gilbert and ask for the Gilbert Tractor Club. Somebody knows where somebody lives.
Yeah, they'll just point you to somebody's house and they'll knock on your door. That's very true. So Google Gilbert Tractor Club. And if you're not in the Ames area, just Google Tractor Clubs, and I'm sure you can find one in your local area.
Absolutely.
Come by Ace Hardware on Saturday morning and ask any club member that's there, and they'll help you with information and be happy to probably tell you more than you ever wanted to know about the Gilbert Club.
So that's the Gilbert Tractor Antique Tractor Show, and it's going to be in the parking lot of Ace Hardware, which is
24th and Grant.
Okay.
Saturday
from 8 to 1, and then you'll be having a larger event in Gilbert itself in when would that be?
July 26, Main Street, Gilbert.
Main Street,
Can't
Gilbert.
Can't miss it.
Can't miss it. Okay. Yeah. There's so we've been speaking with Al Cox, Bob Gibson, and Steve Hansen from the Gilbert Tractor Club talking about upcoming exhibitions, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Sounds like you're going to have great weather, too, so that's great.
Good. So,
thank you.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. The music you just heard was from Celia. She will be live in concert on this Saturday, June 21st, 7:30, at the Progressive Voices Concert Series at the First Unitarian Church in Des Moines. And again, for their Sunday morning service, that's Sunday, June 22nd, 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Both of these events will be at the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. That's at 1800 Bell Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa. For more information, contact the church at 515-244-8603.
That's 515-244-8603. The Progressive Voices Concert Series is hosted by the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines and is open to the general public. Their goal is to bring nationally and internationally known performers to central Iowa who can connect with a wide audience by presenting music that promotes compassion for and celebration of the universal human condition in all its forms and variations.
Celia is a cross between Earthy Enya, Joan Baez, and Tina Fey. For more information for about Celia's concert, visit her at celiaonline.com. That's celiaonline.com.
We also wanted to mention the Heartland Marimba Festival that's coming to Ames June 24th through the 28th. This is going to be a festival of the sound of the marimba. It's going to be a whole series of things. On Tuesday at 6 p.m., there will be a concert at the Martha Ellen Tye Recital Hall. And on Wednesday, there'll be a party and performance at 7:30 to 9:30 at the Octagon. And on Thursday, June 26, the marimba bands will be performing with the Ames Municipal Band at the Bandshell Park. And on Friday and Saturday, there'll also be performances. On Friday, it'll be at Martha Ellen Tye Recital Hall. Saturday, it will again be at the Bandshell. So there's a whole series of events. You can check out information at hearmatthewcoley.com. That's hear, H-E-A-R, Matthew Coley, C-O-L-E-Y.com.
Have you ever heard marimbas play, Ursula?
Yes, I have. It's a very celebratory sound.
Yeah. Lovely.
It's very, very rich. Just a whole lot of fun.
Okay.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. One of the interesting things that happened last weekend was something that you went to, Cynthia, and we just wanted to mention this before we leave, which was the Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival and the Jasper County Fairgrounds in Colfax, Iowa. And the event was a festival that supports sheep and wool industry in Iowa. And just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the Iowa Sheep and Wool Industry Festival is supported by the sheep and wool industry, so they sponsor it and keep it going. This is the 10th year. First time location, though, in Colfax at the Jasper County Fairgrounds, so it's a new location. They usually had it in Edel, Iowa.
Is this a yearly event?
Yeah, it's a yearly event. Next year it'll be the same time. You can look it up online at the Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival, and just Google that. And next year it'll be the same time. It was competing with it landed on Father's Day, unfortunately, this year, and it was competing with a lot of other events, including a beer festival in Des Moines, which, but this is a family-friendly event. I had a great time. I took three classes, and I won a bunny, an Angora bunny. Honestly, it was totally unexpected. At an Angora rabbit workshop with Nancy Barnett, a breeder in Alton, Missouri, and I spin fiber, and I won this English Angora rabbit, and it was a happy surprise that kind of fulfilled the secret wish that because I kind of actually wanted to get one, but I won it. So it's like, okay, the universe landed in a nice, nice place. I named her Cece, and she has a happy home here in Ames, and it was kind of like a surprise Father's Day gift for my husband, even though I wanted it.
What other classes did you take?
That was on Saturday in the morning. On Saturday in the evening, I took a crochet broomstick lace class. It was a method, a technique, and the structure of the lace is really beautiful, and it was taught by Katie Diltz from Cogan, Iowa. And the method is a bit tricky, but the end product's going to be really beautiful. And they have a lot of talented people from all across the Midwest that come and teach these these classes, and some of them are very basic, and they teach people just who want to get started. Others are much more advanced, and you get every type of person coming in. It's a really nice family friendly event, and people that are not involved in the sheep industry and the wool industry, which I am not involved. I'm a craft on the spin side and meet these wonderful people, but it's really great. And
well, speaking of which, you have this beautiful basket sitting next to you.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Sunday, where they had a basket weaving class, and it was offered by Susan Prius from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and it was a marathon session to make this basket. It is not a small basket. It is a big basket. And, well, everybody in class was able to finish, and I'm very proud of my basket, but it was a weekend to remember, and I even stabbed myself, and oh my gosh, it hurt so bad because there's a lot of – if you've ever made a basket or ever seen them made, it's a complicated process, and to get one done from 8 a.m. to in the afternoon, it was a lot of work and straight on through, you know. So it's not easy.
So, again, this was the Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival?
Yep, in Colfax, Iowa.
And this moves around the state?
No, it stays in one location. It'll be in Colfax next year. I asked the people. There'll be a lot of the same people coming. It's a very family-friendly event. Google Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival if you want to get involved. The Iowa Sheep and Wool Association will gladly, you know, get you involved. They need volunteers. And it's a family-friendly event open to the public.
So Iowa has sheep farmers.
They have sheep farmers, and there's two different types. There's meat farmers that I learned, because I didn't know this before, that primarily have hair sheep, and they run them with cattle. But if you have wool sheep and you're doing it as an industry, you do not want to run your sheep with hair animals because the hair contaminates the fibers. And I was lectured on this. This is a big thing. And you can't get a good profit margin for your wool fiber if there's hair in it because it doesn't spin well and it doesn't dye well. Well, I have three dogs, and I have hair in my fiber all the time, but I'm not doing it as an industry for myself. I'm doing it as a pleasure thing. So, mm-hmm. But it can be a bone of contention for the industry on those two points. But what I found was that everybody works really well together. They have the same interests of making a profit in a you know, because Iowa isn't recognized for its sheep industry. It's recognized for its hogs, and it's recognized for soybean and corn crops.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of these, you know, including alpaca. There was an alpaca festival at the fairgrounds, state fairgrounds. So,
okay, well, we'll have to find a sheep farmer and talk to him. And you've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and thank you for that report, Cynthia. And we'd like to thank our guest, Donna Cohen-Newbro, who came by this morning with information about Emma McCarthy Lee Park and the Gilbert Tractor Club. Mr. Al Cox, Bob Gibson, and Steve Hansen came by, and they're going to have an antique tractor show this Saturday, June 21st, from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Ace Hardware parking lot, which is located on 24th Street here in Ames and Grand Avenue.
I would also like to thank the Iowa Sheep and Wool Festival and everyone who I had the opportunity to talk with over the weekend, all the wonderful people I met, and the hospitality I received. Thank you for making the experience memorable.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm just
crying. It meant a lot to you.
Yeah, it meant a lot.
Okay, well, Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. I have a crying co-host.
No,
if you would like to join our team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. You'll also find descriptions of the guests we had today and information and websites and contact information that were mentioned on the show. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends and check us out on Facebook. You can listen to the show and all of our past Local Talk shows online at khoifm.org. Your participation as audience and your generous donations help make KHOI possible.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the radio.